guys, welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, a show where we discuss films that we consider to be indie darlings. And these can be for good or bad reasons. It really depends on the film. A very indie thing to say, in my opinion. The film we're discussing today is Multiple Maniacs, a film by John Waters released in 1970. And our guest today is Tony Rodriguez.
Hello, old friend. Would you put this in the bad or good category?
Let's find out.
Okay.
Tony, you picked this film.
I did indeed.
Why did you choose this film?
Okay. I think I've not seen a lot of John Waters movies. So when I had the opportunity to do this podcast, I thought, well, let me go back and see what his most famous movie is. And I guess it's pre-mainstream. And I realized it was Pink Flamingos.
Yeah.
But then I saw an interview where he said, after this movie, Multiple Maniacs, he spent his entire career trying to top it. So I thought, also, this was available on Criterion. So mm-hmm. I thought, oh, well, then it's a must-see.
Yeah.
To educate myself.
Yeah, because when you said John Waters, I immediately thought, oh, you're going to pick Pink Flamingos or Female Trouble. Because I've seen, actually, I don't remember if I've seen Pink Flamingos, but it's kind of iconic for Waters and Divine. But this one I've actually never heard of.
Wow.
So I was just like, oh, and I'm a John Waters fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I even enjoy his later stuff like Pecker. I didn't see the new version of Hairspray with John Travolta, but I am interested in the Ricky Lake version.
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen the Ricky Lake version?
No.
It's pretty good.
I mean, yeah.
My memory of it is pretty good. I think the first John Waters movie I saw was Serial Mom
mm-hmm.
in the theater.
Oh, I forget that he did that.
I loved it.
I remember when I was a kid, I saw the trailer for that, and I remember thinking, I don't know how I feel. Like, I don't know if this movie's supposed to be funny or if it's supposed to be scary. I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Which very much, I mean, that's John Waters.
Yeah.
So, you, in your opinion, you think this is his most taboo film?
Yeah. It includes what? Can we curse on this show?
Oh, say whatever. I also literally made a list of all the notable things that happened.
Okay.
Right away.
Compare our lists.
Okay, so this movie, it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was for budgetary reasons.
Yeah, I think it was like the cheapest thing.
The whole budget for this film was $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in 1970, which is saying a lot, which is cheap for back then, too. And there's an iconic scene in this movie with a giant lobster.
Yep.
That when you told me about this via email, you're like, there's a scene where Divine gets raped by a lobster.
Well, this suffices.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I guess this does fall under our category of taboo. And that giant lobster was made for a whopping $37. Mm-hmm. And okay, so let's just break this down. Okay, Multiple Maniacs is about a character. Does Divine have a name, or does she just go by Divine in this?
I think just Lady Divine.
Oh, yeah. Lady Divine playing a character who she works in a traveling freak show in 1970 Baltimore. It's clearly Baltimore. And a traveling freak show. A freak show, but it's not a traditional freak show. Like, they do a mixture of, like, Jackass-like things of orgies. There's one guy that's just burning himself with cigarettes.
Yeah. And then there's like two people playing Go Fish.
Yeah. I think it's the guy that was getting burned by cigarettes that was later
playing
Go Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting is it shows the audience reactions and everyone's just being a dick. There's another fun notable thing about John Waters movies. Everyone is so mean to each other.
Yeah. The whole movie.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't either. Divine is just a raging bee.
Yeah.
The entire movie. But at a certain point, my sympathies like went with hers.
Yeah.
She's my hero now.
Like, she has a boyfriend in this and it's hard to tell who it is because everyone's so mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And her boyfriend has an affair and plots to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Divine has a daughter.
Yeah.
Who is topless throughout the entire film.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
which you could say would be like, well, it's a gay man during this movie.
Yeah.
At first I thought, well, that's, well, I guess that's the 70s.
Yeah.
Most women are topless in the 70s.
It's the sexuality never felt sexy, though.
Yeah, no.
It always felt like clearly trying to be grotesque.
Yeah.
Because like she was topless and her bottoms would just be underwear. But she would, the way she would be sitting, I would say she was squatting or living in squalor.
Yeah.
And, okay. Yeah. Like the movie starts out with the freak show and it with a bunch of stuff that you could tell John Waters was like just listing stuff to gross you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a part where someone's throwing up and then eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully I found out that was creamed corn.
Yeah. I looked that up too.
I don't know why, but the idea of someone actually eating vomit upsets me too much. And, yeah, cigarettes, gay sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a spot where two men are kissing each other and everyone's like, disgusting. Yeah.
Is that their most violent reaction to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their reactions are priceless.
Oh, they're like throwing food at them, I think. And
but none of them leave the tent.
No, they all stay. And what was really, this grossed me out too, is there's someone selling snacks in the tent, but it's not like peanuts. They're like saying, cheeseburgers, get your cheeseburgers yeah. and cigarettes. And I'm like, is that part of the show? That's so disgusting.
Yeah.
You just saw someone eat their own vomit. And you're like, cheeseburger, I'll take one.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
It's almost a heightening of it.
Yeah. It's the worst thing ever. And I even made a note of it after. I'm like, cheeseburgers and cigarettes. Ugh. Yeah. So Freaks of Society. What's funny is I was noticing all the stuff you see is basically in the freak show. It's something you could see on A&E now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like people that eat weird shit, gay relationships, everything on it. I'm like, oh, we just found an. Oh, because there's a scene where someone's shooting up heroin.
Yeah.
This is all just stuff we still gawk at now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I feel horrible. Yeah, there's a part of it that reminds me. Have you heard of this Italian horror film called Salo?
No.
It's like, it's also in the 70s, and it's about the Italian. There was a revolution, and it's an infamous movie where it's kind of a torture film, and they get a bunch of students and they just torture them in this mansion.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And one of them, there's a scene where they make someone eat bread with nails in it.
This is ringing a bell.
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard of it. Like it always appears on top 10 horror lists or like most infamous lists. Like it's been banned in various countries, but for some reason the freak show scene reminded me of this. Which is crazy because they were made probably around the same time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I made a note. I love Divine's clothes in this.
In that scene or throughout the entire movie?
The entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, Oh, go ahead.
And her makeup looks like the Joker.
Yeah. Okay. So there's so many scenes. Okay. There's a scene where she literally she's walking down the street and gets raped by two people.
Yeah.
Both in drag. And randomly, and they're both smaller than her.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bizarre that I wasn't sure what was happening. Like, it was the most confusing rape.
It was very confusing. They're very tiny people compared to her.
Yeah.
She was just pretending to be overpowered.
Yeah.
I guess.
And what was so harsh to watch is that the way her makeup is done, it always makes it look like she's smiling.
Yeah.
So even when she's screaming, I'm like, is she laughing? I can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's so insane. And the way, okay, so the person that plays Divine's boyfriend in this was her actual makeup artist.
Oh.
Yeah. And, all the clothes that he was wearing was his own wardrobe.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's an indie film.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
Oh, also, like, the person, there's a character, any major character in this, looks weirdly iconic because they're so unique looking.
Uh-huh.
There's a character in this called Mink.
Yes.
Mink Stole.
Yeah.
She gets introduced as a lesbian who has sex with Divine in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And later they have sex with a rosary. And she's wearing a crazy costume of like, what would you call it? That head wrap that Liz Taylor would wear?
Yeah, like a Liz Taylor.
A turban.
Yeah, or she's Sally Field on Soap Dish.
A turban with a giant jewel and a huge fur coat. And her makeup was crazy. And then later I found out she brought all her own wardrobe and did her own makeup.
Well, see?
Yeah.
John Waters is calling his friends for favors.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? I trust you to do a great job on your makeup. So I think that's what's happening there, too.
She did.
Yeah.
That scene is the longest scene in film history. The sex scene in the church? Yeah.
Legit?
No, I don't know. I'm saying it. As I was watching it, I'm like, no, this is 10 minutes long.
No, I believe you. I believe you. Because the whole... and it's so strange. It's all voiceover.
Yeah. That is the entire... This is the only part of the movie that has like a voiceover. And I'm like, are we changing?
Is this a different movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because there's a portion where it gets very surreal and Fellini-esque because she's literally says an entire passage from the Bible via voiceover. And then she's like, and then I saw a saint and you see a child dressed as a like a
pope, almost
like
right?
a little bishop or something.
Sure.
On the streets of Baltimore, like leading her to a church. And it was very surreal and kind of beautifully shot. And, listeners, if it seems like we're all over the place, we are not. The film is not the most linear. Because I remember thinking, I'm like, this is such an indie film.
Oh, yeah.
It's black and white. I don't know why this happened.
You're constantly asking yourself, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it culminates in lobster rape. You're like, well, there's that.
Okay, so the lobster rape happens after she commits, mass murder.
Yeah.
She finds out through sheer sloppiness that her husband was trying to kill her with the woman he was cheating with, and he'd also killed her daughter. And with the world's tiniest gun.
Yeah.
Like, I had to look close. I remember I squinted at one point. I'm like, oh, he has a gun.
Yeah. Any gunshots here, I guess, and there's no smoke, there's no bullet.
Yeah.
And any knife stabs, there's no blood.
Yeah.
It's the best violence. I hate violence on screen.
Yeah.
And this was the most unrealistic I've ever seen.
I've done more realistic gunshots on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the world's tiniest gun. Like, I could shove it in my bra. And I am not big. It is the tiniest gun and it holds 19 rounds, apparently. Everyone gets shot once and they disappear.
Yeah.
And so she goes on a rampage, she kills everyone, and then all of a sudden lobster rape?
I guess everyone but her is dead, right? And then she sort of has this, she starts breaking down and starts saying, I'm divine. And she goes to the mirror and has a love monologue.
Yeah.
And I think around then, is that when the lobster comes in? And then
I know she has a laughing fit where she literally looks into the camera laughing.
I think that was
that later?
After.
Was that later? Okay.
I guess that's the scene. That all of that is about 20 minutes in that room, right? Mass murder.
There are so many scenes that just lasted so long. Oh, I made a note. That little kid dressed like the Pope, that was the Emperor of Prague.
Oh.
To make things a million times crazier.
Sure.
I wrote down a quote that made me laugh. Get her eyelashes.
Who says that?
I think when the angry crowd is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like they're. One of the many times someone gets attacked in this movie, someone yelled, get her eyelashes. That made me laugh. This is just a fun thing for me. This movie was made in 1970. And I noticed I have a pet peeve now where people say the word anxious a lot. And I noticed people, you never hear them say anxious in older films, but you do hear them say nervous.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah, because once you start listening for it in older films like black and white movies, they say the word, I need my nerves. It's just my nerves, you know? Mm-hmm. I just need a drink for my nerves, or I need my pill for my nerves.
Divine says she never has a reason why she wants to kill her boyfriend, but it's always, you're on my nerves.
Yes.
If you get on my nerves one more time.
Yes.
And it's never a reason why he's on her nerves.
Oh, no. No. Well, also, her boyfriend talks like this the whole time. Divine, I'm gonna kill you.
Uh-huh.
That's my boyfriend. Also, Divine's the only one that has a legit good performance. Everyone else, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. There's a couple times I noticed like someone like forgetting their lines mid shot and then just sort of repeating another line and then, oh yeah, this is what I'm supposed to say.
Yeah, that I thought, I really did think that, oh, I'll just get used to this. I didn't because it's, I don't know. There's something about bad acting. It really is distracting.
And also, I guess it made even worse by Divine. I would say it's actually a very good performance.
Yeah.
She's committed the entire time.
She was the best actress.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a great performance in an indie film.
Yeah.
Actually, great performance, period.
Yeah. And I guess that's another thing that made the violence easier to digest.
Yeah.
Because the acting was just not there.
Yeah. That's, you know what? I'd say she's a masterclass in commitment.
Yes. Divine, if you weren't dead, we would insist you teach a masterclass on commitment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. another fun little thing. Okay, so there's a scene when she's in the church where you see her flashback to Jesus getting crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor that plays her boyfriend plays Judas in the flashback. I knew that that was supposed to be symbolism or whatever. But they're also, when she's climaxing in the church, it's to when Jesus is dying.
Yes. Yeah.
And I wonder what audience reactions were in 1970. Because even now, I'm like, it feels almost, for me, I guess it feels almost too calculated.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, is Mink Stole in the church, who is fucking with the rosary up her ass.
Yeah.
Is she sort of narrating the Stations of the Cross at that point?
Yes.
And that would that be the end? Is that the last Station of the Cross? Him dying or is it his rising? Actually, I don't even know.
I don't know.
Uh-oh, lapsed Catholic.
I'm a Christian. I shouldn't know this, but I don't.
We'll look it up later. I think the premiere was in a church of this movie. What was their reaction?
Interesting.
In Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading it was at a premiere at a church. I'm sure anyone that was going to a John Waters premiere probably had some inkling.
Yeah.
And plus it was the 70s. He said, I was reading that he said he wanted to make fun of hippies in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he did that?
I read that as well, and I can't tell. I guess, was he making fun of love and peace culture? But then I don't know. I guess he prides himself on bad taste.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never once thought hippies.
Yeah, because I was like, it feels like he's just taking everything iconic and trying to turn it on its head. But I never thought anything about hippie culture.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Oh. This though, I was like, wow, this is a ballsy move. He references Sharon Tate's murder.
Yeah.
Which, if you do the math, this was released 1970. Sharon Tate was murdered 1969. John Waters tried to imply that Divine committed the murder. While they were filming this, they found out it was Charles Manson, so they had to change it. And I was like, that's fucking nuts.
That's insanity.
Yeah. To try to implicate
a fictional character.
Yeah. For a real life murder.
That had not yet been. Well, I guess it's the same thing as like a fictional character murdering JFK. Probably not.
Well, I wonder, because Divine was in other films. And I don't know. That's so crazy, though.
Was it a running gag with her?
No, I don't think they attempted to try to pin a murder on Divine in other movies. But I cannot believe. I guess because, I don't know, did people sue back then?
I don't know.
Because I feel like now I'm like, oh no, you're going to get your ass sued like crazy.
It could have been also who's going to see it maybe at the time it was made.
I guess, I mean, maybe they weren't sure. I think they weren't sure how long it would take to find the murderer.
That's true, too.
Because they didn't know it was Charles Manson until like as they were filming it.
Yeah.
And
what if Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was I feel like there would be a joke to an unsolved murder.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
Right. And she could blame Titus. I don't know.
I think that they were trying to make it seem. I don't know.
It's definitely in bad taste.
Yes.
And not in the sense that we've been talking up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like morally bad taste as opposed to just throwing things up in the air that might offend you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even for me, I was like, whoa, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it takes, you know what? I would say it's the kind of uncomfortable that takes me out of the movie.
Yeah, it felt like,
bad decision on the part of the filmmaker.
Yeah, like if I was on that crew, I'd be like, John, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
I read, I don't know if this is somewhat unrelated, but originally the soundtrack had Elvis Presley songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when this was released by Criterion in 2016, that they replaced it, I guess, because of rights. So I would think that they did not have the rights when they... It was originally made. Otherwise, why would it be an issue, right?
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. Maybe like he didn't think. I don't know.
I wonder if how much of this was premeditated and how much of it was just negligence.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to find it. I want to find an interview with John Waters about what he says about it now. The Sharon Tate aspect. It's like, well, I did what I did. Got me here.
Yeah. So there's...
That was not my impression of John Waters.
Let's see. Okay, so this movie gets crazier after the lobster rape. Like, Divine literally goes on a rampage where you see her foaming at the mouth.
I could not stop laughing at that. I thought it was so ridiculous. Like a rabid dog going insane.
It almost at that point felt like sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Like it's not like a montage you would see on The Simpsons. Like what if Homer's just foaming at the mouth at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she literally starts just mowing people down and she's foaming at the mouth. She killed people. She got raped by a lobster. And... What was funny is all of a sudden a crowd of people just starts chasing her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it made me think of that movie, A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Do you think John Waters is trying to parody
it? I think so. Because, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's even like a stray dog chasing as well.
Oh, it's so funny because they see a crowd of people just chasing Divine, who looks manic,
mm-hmm.
but they want to kill her.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the militia come out.
Yeah.
And... not really matching uniforms.
Yeah. And, or fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of them who is breaking throughout.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden the militia come out and just shoot her dead.
Yeah. After like 5 minutes of her just pretending she's swatting flies.
Yeah.
At them.
Yeah. Yeah. The militia comes out and they might have been more convincing if they didn't look so hippie-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually militia, they don't have mutton chops and David Cassidy hair. But they were, the fucking militia comes out and shoots her dead and end of film.
That allegedly was, I guess according to the internet, was all shot on a Sunday morning. And the first thing I thought was, good morning, Baltimore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder why they chose a Sunday morning.
Maybe fewer... less traffic or less people in church? I don't know. I read that they did not have permits for most of where they were shooting.
A lot of it was guerrilla style.
Yeah.
That's why you see cars whizzing by and mm-hmm. stuff. That's so funny to me. And, oh God, just to have been on this crew.
Yeah.
To have been a fly on the wall.
I wonder how much of that crew carried on to other films. I think Pink Flamingos was the next one, right?
Yeah.
2 years later?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they had more money for that one because it's in color.
Ooh.
And
they had money for dogs to shit for Divine to eat off the ground.
I heard that was a nightmare to shoot.
Ugh.
Like they were literally following that dog around for hours. Oh my God. Feeding it and feeding it. And it was not It wouldn't shit.
Just watched that clip today. Have you ever seen it?
I saw the clip, but I haven't seen Pink Flamingos.
I guess she eats. It's a long take because she just sort of like takes a bite of the poo that is freshly dropped from a puppy. And just gleefully smiles at the camera like she's eating. But it's so long. Like, I feel.
Yeah.
That's gargantuan commitment.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Thank God that did not happen in this movie.
I mean, I'm glad there wasn't any poo eating, but I mean, they did literally everything else.
Yeah, kind of literally. Although, oh my God, when Mink Stoll takes the rosary out of Divine's. Connie, you just shivered. She wipes the rosary for like a full minute on her handkerchief. I mean, that's what would have happened, right?
There's some really long cuts in this film. Almost to the point where it feels static, but I mean, oh, sorry. Maybe that's, I don't know if I'm giving John Waters too much credit or he was trying to make us feel uncomfortable in that way.
Maybe. I mean, certainly worked for me.
Yeah.
That way. Yeah. That was his goal.
I mean, this definitely feels like an indie film all around.
All the way around. The first third of the movie, which I guess would be like that carnival of freaks, some of it felt like found footage-y, like almost documentary style.
There was a couple of times where I'm like, this just feels like a documentary.
Yeah. And I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
I was sort of like arms folded.
Yeah.
Sort of appreciating it more than enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I think once Divine decides she has to murder her boyfriend, I'm like, ooh, now there's a plot. And I liked it from then on.
There's a moment where I don't remember when exactly. It's towards the end where she loses her. She's flipping out. I think she's covered in blood and she's just screaming and wailing. And she looks into the camera.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I wrote down, Divine is a star.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, like, there was something about her just being that, like, she somehow made this feel artistic.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Like, there's something about her. Like, I'm like, you're so watchable and expressive and committed. And the way her makeup is, it's just garish enough.
Yeah. I agree with that. John Waters did everything on this movie, right? Directed, wrote it, shot it, edited it. And there are scenes when, like, is this on purpose a la David Lynch? Or is this just what he was capable of at the time?
Yeah.
But, like, it'll be a long scene of two actors talking, and then one of them will be out of frame because it feels like the camera's too heavy or it's just, is that on purpose? Or is it just sort of the guerrilla style?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Divine elevates this entire production.
She's basically the catalyst, the star. The dialogue unintentionally made me laugh a couple of times. There's a part where when she first meets Mink Stoll, she's like, she felt very highly of herself. And I enjoyed that because I think that way of me too. Like, okay.
I want to read that entire monologue. Like, I want her entire inner monologue on paper. It's very funny.
God, it's probably like 3 pages.
Minimum.
It's so long. She probably just read it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, no, she wasn't eating. But
yeah, because it was like biblical and stuff.
Earlier we said that everyone's mean to each other.
Yeah.
Mentioning Mink Stoll just now.
Yeah.
Right after they've fucked in the church,
mm-hmm.
which is a 20-minute scene.
Yeah.
As they're walking on outside on the sidewalk, it's actually really, really sweet to each other.
Yeah.
But then I think later, obviously, Divine turns because she can't stay sweet with anyone for very long.
Nope.
But it almost human. It was like, oh, we see another layer to Divine.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very good performance. It's like, oh.
It's like the one time people are nice to each other.
Yeah.
And it was like a very welcome break because before that, everyone's just kind of mean. And what hurts, I feel like that can hurt a story because nothing feels like it has stakes.
Yeah.
If everyone's just horrible to each other. And like even the boyfriend who was having an affair with that one girl.
The blonde.
Yeah, he's not even nice to her.
No.
He tells her, meet me in a bar. And she's like, I'll be there for as long as it takes.
Oh, Lord. When it's her time to do her lines, she doesn't take a breath.
Ooh.
There's just, I'll wait for you forever. I'll do anything you want, Mr. David. I'll.
There's a period in there.
Yeah.
I just have to be in your show no matter what. I can do whatever you take. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, I think this is definitely an indie darling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If someone just saw this, what other, and enjoyed it, what other film would you recommend for them?
Well, you know what? This makes me want to revisit Serial Mom.
Oh.
So I maybe would point them that way.
Uh-huh.
I am by no means a John Waters, what's it called?
Fan?
Fan, no. Connoisseur? I want to watch all those movies, yeah, so I can speak more better.
Yeah. Yeah.
To them.
Well, you're in for a treat because this one, I've seen a lot of John Waters. This is not his best work.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. What does that mean?
You can't trust Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was excited to see this and then I was like, oh, this is his earlier, messier work. Mm-hmm.
His second film?
Yeah. Is this a second film?
I think so.
Okay.
And the first one has no dialogue, apparently, allegedly.
Oh,
so this is his first sound film. Or first film with dialogue.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily any breaths after periods.
I would recommend Female Trouble.
Okay. Is Divine in that?
Yeah.
All right.
I would also, there's a scene, I think it's Female Trouble, where she also plays a man who ends up raping herself.
What?
Divine gets in a car with being driven by a man that is also played by Divine and through body doubles attacks herself.
Okay.
And gets herself pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're selling me on that one.
I mean, the idea of doing it is just so.
There's something about this movie, and maybe you can answer this. It sort of reminds me of David Lynch. Where it's really weird. Some of the actors, you're like, are they even actors? It feels almost unprofessionally delivered. What is happening? How much of it is on purpose and how much of it isn't?
The level of bad acting legit feels like if I were to open this window and be like, hey, do you want to do something for a second?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like people are breaking. People are looking at the camera.
Yeah. The woman at the club,
uh-huh,
which looked like a diner to me.
Yeah.
I think where she's like, where Divine is looking for David.
Oh, that little short woman?
Yeah, the little short woman.
Oh,
she looks at the camera at one point and is like, what's my line? Oh, right.
No. You're going to see a lot of her in other films.
Really?
Yes.
I was intrigued by her.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, I was watching a documentary about John Waters, about Divine, and then it is hard doing scenes with her because she has a tendency to forget her lines.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that was a bar that they were in and that woman worked there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, for real. She worked there.
She worked there for real.
Divine and John Waters went to high school together.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And John Waters said that, he would see Divine as a teenager waiting for the bus and John Waters' dad would be like, do not end up like him.
Wow.
Yeah.
They shot the carnival outside of the parents' house.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that insane?
I mean, who else would allow it?
Yeah. I guess don't end up like him or her.
Yeah.
But then, okay, fine. You can shoot outside on her lawn.
Well, this was back when they were kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Like, I think John Waters is younger than Divine, I think, by a few years.
I don't know.
I think by a few years, but yeah. I thought it was just funny that he saw Divine growing up and his dad was like, do not do that. I mean, to be fair, he didn't, but.
Yeah. Actually, he didn't.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I would also weirdly recommend the Circus of Freaks made me think of this documentary. I don't even know where you would find it now. Tittacat Follies.
Oh.
It's a documentary. It's not supposed to be entertaining. I saw it in college once. It's about an insane asylum.
Okay.
In the 60s or 50s. And it was famous because it exposed this one hospital of treating its patients terribly.
Wow.
Yeah, like
what's it called?
Tittacat Follies.
Okay.
and at the end you see the patients perform a show. But before that, it's awful. Like, people are drugged up that don't need to be drugged up. People are left in rooms naked. It's really bad. And it was banned for a while because it made this one hospital look bad.
Was this an inspiration for American Horror Story Asylum?
Oh, I'm sure it was. But yeah, the opening scenes for the freak show made me think of it.
Okay.
Because it felt so weird and documentary-like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would recommend Female Trouble, Tidicate Follies. I haven't seen Solo, so I'm not going to recommend that. But I love Divine's clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so... everything about it is just like the shaved forehead,
mm-hmm.
the high, the extra high. You know Ursula from The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Is based on Divine.
Yeah, I just read that this morning. I couldn't believe it.
And it makes so much
it
sense.
It really does.
Because I remember even as a kid, I'm like, Ursula's kind of fabulous.
Yes. Yes. The best villain. She's the best villain.
Yeah. I'm like, she looks like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, because she was.
Yeah.
Well, we're winding down to the end of our show. Tony, I think this is coming out in September. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. I'll plug my podcast.
Ooh.
Yes. You have to watch this movie.
That's the name of the podcast?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hey.
With my co-host, Drew Mackey.
Uh-huh.
He has some other podcasts, one of them being Gayest Episode Ever. Yeah.
And are you also still on Quick and Funny Musicals?
No, I quit.
Oh, well then.
And I hope it, when this comes out that we're still doing Spanish Aquí Presents.
Oh.
Or that I haven't been kicked out of the Upright Citizens Brigade theater. But at this recording, we have a monthly Latinx variety show.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's all for us today. If you liked what you heard, you could subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. And you can give us an email, ask questions, make requests for other indie movies at theindiedarlingspodcast@gmail.com. And join us next time for another Indie Darling.
MZE, MTV, Refinery 29. What do all these companies have in common? They bring you celebrity news and they didn't hire me. You know I had to do it to them. That's what I bring to you, Extra Extra, on Campfire Media Podcasting Network. Extra Extra is a hot buffet of all the delicious celebrity news and gossip you want and need. According to me, because my opinion is the only one that matters, obviously, tune in every Tuesday as my guests and I share our unwanted and unfiltered opinions on all your favorite celebs. No celeb is safe. I'm looking at you, Mila Kunis. Listen now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Campfire.